Blog Talk Radio.
All right. It's Monday, and welcome to Common Sense Conversations. I'm your host, Eric Teamer, and for the next 90 minutes, it is my attempt to put common sense where it ain't so common. Break that superstition down. I hope that you tuned in last night to the Seeking Empowerment episode of Common Sense Conversations with my co-host, Dia, and myself. We had a pretty decent show. We laughed, we joked, but we got some information in. And what I want to do tonight is kind of do a follow-up on that show so that you can kind of, if you missed it, maybe you want to listen in a little bit more and maybe you want to learn a few things here and there, whatever the case may be. But either way, I'm here. I want to share. So let's get to sharing, shall we? If you want to be a part of tonight's show, you can do so. You can always do that by calling in 917-889-2823. Again, that number is 917-889-2823, 2823. When you hear and when you're queued up and you're in, it'll tell you press 1. You press 1 to be entered into the queue, and you will have access to all of the shows. And I'm sorry, not all the shows, but you have access to me, and I'll bring you in, and you can talk to me and let me know what's going on, what you want to hear, what you want to talk about, so on and so forth. I believe Dia might join me a little later. So we're just going to move on, and like I said, if you tuned in last night, you heard a decent show. You were able to hear us talk about symbols and signs and things like that, things that you may see in television. I know a lot of times, like I said last night, when you hear people, the main thing, especially in the rap culture, is doing things to join the Illuminati. You've even heard people talk about joining the Illuminati and killing. There's been one young man I know, he killed his roommate. And as I guess a blood sacrifice to join the Illuminati. Not to say that it worked all too well, but he did it. But you see symbols and signs in everyday life. You see it, you know, just walking down the street. Like I said, if you go to most government buildings, you'll see a lot of symbolism. You may see from the gargoyles to, you know, the fleur-de-lis, you name it, the dove, the symbol of the White House has symbolism. You know, the 13 colonies were supposedly ordered after the 13 pieces of Osiris after he was dismembered by his brother. You have symbols of the Masons, and you see plenty of documentaries on that. Like I said, you also hear symbols on, what is it, the Illuminati. You see that, and you have people who will break down videos, you know, especially when you hear Jay-Z. He's a big target for members of the Illuminati or people who believe in the Illuminati and want to talk about it. The all-seeing eye. The all-seeing eye is part of the original design, separated. But a lot of this comes also has, you know, like they said, the eye is also a representation of God who favors, you know, the belief that it should favor the favor the United States. Links to the Freemasons the great architect who watches and sees over all, and so on and so forth. You see it in all kinds of things. You see the eye in the symbol like CBS. You see that, you know, it's the pyramid, the shape of the pyramid, and how it's what they've used, and so on and so forth. You see, you know, I mean, you find these things all over the place. You'll find them, you know, in the most obscure places. I'm trying to think of what else that I would see, something that you would see. The leaf, the owl, and I'm trying to remember what the owl represents, if I can remember. The owl was a symbol for Minerva, the goddess of wisdom, and it represented the enlightened ones, to see themselves as wise rulers of the planet. You'll see these, you know, if you see them, you know, there's a reason for what you see in certain things. You'll see them in certain movies. You'll see them in certain businesses. And as much as they would like you to think that these things don't play a part in their business culture, they do. They have a very significant part. They represent certain things. I'm trying to also think. Let me see. You have the torchbearer, like the signs of the light, the Olympic, the eternal flame is basically also a symbol of enlightenment. So these are symbols that you might see within companies. You know, you'll see Amoco, a gas station, or Standard gas station, you used to see. They have the torchbearer. You see this in Rockefeller Plaza. You also see that same logo in Columbia Pictures. You see it at the Statue of Liberty. You see it in the Olympics. I mean, these things are everywhere. We're just not paying attention to, you know, these symbols and you know how these things are placed. I just wish that we would pay attention to these things so much so. You talk about product placement. You know, people who believe that 666, you know, can be found in something as simple as a Taco Bell wrapper or Taco Bell symbol or the Walt Disney symbol. And you see the 6 and the W and then 6 and the D, the back 6 and the 6 and the Y. So you have all of these things that are in front of you. And, you know, I can honestly tell you, the idea that when you sit down and you watch movies, a lot of times people just watch movies just to watch them, and they don't pay attention to the meaning or what happens, the symbolism, the death and the resurrection, or the, you know, when writers write for movies or for books, there's typically a premise that there's some sort of foundation for it. It's normally man versus man, man versus nature, man versus himself, and I think there's more. But, you know, you see within that context, you'll see him struggle, and then they'll see, you know, the symbolism. You may see somebody, like talked about last night, someone who's on top of his game or her game, and then they have something happen that's drastic, and it causes them to go down, and they lose control, and they're no longer on, you know, on top anymore. You see that, and you see they have to go through certain changes in order to get back to the top. You know, if you watch one of the movies that I watched before recently was Southpaw, and Southpaw basically did the same thing. Boxer, he was a champion. He loses his wife. He goes through this whole process of, you know, he lost his title, and he works his way up. But in order to work his way himself up again, he has to see this, you know, this trainer. The trainer teaches him. You look at the features of the trainer. The trainer has a gray beard. It, you know, these things represent certain things. The gray represents the wisdom and the truth behind it. The trainer starts talking to him in a philosophical way. He talks about the philosophy of the fight and how the fight is won and the mental, and then he talks, you know, then he gets almost into a spiritual sect of it, you know, and you start to see it. This is how we embrace things. Sometimes we have to follow rock bottom. We have to make the ultimate sacrifice of losing someone to see and understand our true path. And then we have to understand that we have to adopt a new philosophy in order to better ourselves. We better ourselves through that new philosophy. We understand the concept. Spirituality is basically, I would say, the natural concept of things, the natural construct. When you stop fighting and using artificial constructs, you adopt a more natural construct. I guess that's the best way to put it. And then you start to move forward in that philosophy. So those are the things that you have to look for when it comes to spiritual side of things, dealing with how to put things to how to make sense of it. I guess that is the best way. There's no guessing to it. How to make sense of what's being said and done, and how it's presented. Like I said, even with cartoons, a lot of the information is spread through cartoons. And I listened to children, and growing up, we had, one of the biggest ones that I remember had a lot of symbolism and imagery was Thundercats. You had the Eye of Odin, which was basically essentially the third eye. You could see, sight beyond sight. When he ever put the sword up to it and he watched through the sword and he'd see things. The mummy, the pyramid, and what that represented. And you don't see that too often, but you do understand, once you start to get to that point, you start to understand things that are being sent to you, the messages. Once you start to understand what symbols are, what they represent, then as you see them in the movie, you can, in a movie, you can start to see, the representation and what they're trying to, the underlying message that they're trying to convey. And I'm trying to make sure that I get as much as I can. I try not to talk too fast and go too much into it, but that's the bottom line of what you get. You get a lot of information that's there that you wouldn't normally get anywhere else. You probably would have to have someone read it for you, and to the point of okay, now I get it. I understand. But once you catch on to it, you'll start to see it in not just in the movies, but in television shows. You'll see it in commercials. And like I said, it's heavy in music, the music industry. You'll hear it for me. I really personally believe that when rap first came out, rap was a genuine thing. Rap heard, you heard people talking in the message. And as a matter of fact, I think I want to go ahead and play something for you. Give me a second. And then we can go from there. But when you're talking about music and what music represents, especially rhythm and blues, they labeled it right. They called it rhythm. It's rhythmic instruments playing message. They can tell you that, almost to a scientific degree, and there's a method, music tames the savage beast. That's what they always tell you. I'm trying to think of some songs that I could use in order to get you to know what I'm thinking about, to know the actual, some of the things in the transition. I have some. If you give me a few seconds, I'll play it for you, I promise you. But in the meantime, music, especially rap, like I said, it came with a social message. The message was, to describe the situations that were going on in certain impoverished neighborhoods, certain things to describe certain situations that were used in order to depict a way of life. I think that that was changed when they realized that they could, influence young people to do certain things through rap music. You may have seen it through 2 Live Crew. You may have seen it through, oh my goodness. Let me see. You have Tupac. Even with him, the transformation of going through some social conscious music to just being hardcore. You know what I mean? I think that we are in a position where we allow our children now to listen to certain types of music, even the adults listen to it, and we, oh, I love the beat. And that's the one of the main things that children say now. I don't listen to the lyrics, but I love the beat. But if you pay attention, they are listening to the music. They're listening to the lyrics. They're digesting the lyrics. They're very caught up in the music. Even R&B songs. You go from the Temptations, a song like Ball of Confusion, if you listen to it. And then you go to, something where they're talking about, I want to sex you up, color me bad, even though I don't necessarily consider that to be R&B, but more of a pop type genre song. But the ideology is we went from social conscious to socially conscious to straight hypersexuality to some extent. We went from Marvin Gaye, and Marvin Gaye is best known for his songs Sexual Healing, If I Should Die Tonight, so on and so forth. But Marvin Gaye actually was a conservationist. He wanted peace, he wanted harmony. He liked songs that dealt with social issues. So you have songs that he did like Makes Me Wanna Holler, Inner City Blues, so we have these songs that talk about social consciousness and social change, that we don't pay attention to. We say we don't pay attention to, we don't think about, but it shaped the way we did things. New Jack City shaped the way people wanted to live. You saw people who didn't see the bad in Nino Brown. They saw the good in it and saw the fact that Nino Brown was a drug dealer that had money. And that's what we see. We saw Tony Montana selling dope, and that made us want to be like Tony Montana. We wanted that lifestyle. We wanted, some of the things that Tony had, and we were willing to go to that extreme in order to get it. And I think that that's one of the biggest things that we aren't paying attention to. We don't really delve into when it comes to the idea that we're digesting all of this music. And the reason why I chose, and that's exactly why I chose that title, Symbol, Signs and Symbolism, You Are What You Eat, because I've always said it, and I keep saying it, that you will digest these things on a regular basis. So I don't know any other way to do it. The more you digest it, the more you're more apt to internalize, the more you're apt to just go along with it. These things, eventually, just like they desensitize you by constantly showing you violent images of violent behavior. They show you images of young black males being violent, black women doing things that are out of character, that you as a person of color may say that that is not necessarily the case, but we are so desensitized to it that we become to think that, our children begin to think that that is the way of life. You have children in rural communities saying, I'm ghetto, I'm ratchet, because they think that that is the acceptable way of living their life. So you have all of these things that change and transform us into a different frame, mindset. And like I said, I wish people would have been able, if you didn't get a chance to listen to Sunday's show, listen to it, and I'm trying to find this. It was an intro that I used a long time ago. Let me see if I can find it. Black Eyed Peas. not the actual song, but it was the intro to it. And if you give me a few minutes, I'll see if I can play it, put it up. But it just kind of says something about energy and who we are and the type of, what we are. And I'll get back into that. And I'll get back into signs and symbols. Let me play that real quick. It's about a minute. Then I'll play a couple of songs and we'll talk about that. And I'll do it before Dia gets on because Dia swears that I'm old as dirt, and she's right behind me. I promise you, she is. But anyway, let me play the Black Eyed Peas intro that I played a while ago, and she thought it was funny. But it was the intro to the song "I'ma Be," and if you don't know that song, I might even play that for a second just to let you hear it, and we'll talk about the some of the things that go on. We'll see. But just check this out, and we'll go from there.
Welcome. Welcome to the inn. Do not panic. There is nothing to fear. Everything around you is changing. Nothing stays the same. This version of myself is not permanent. Tomorrow, I will be different. The energy never dies. Energy cannot be destroyed or created. It always is, and it always will be. This is the end and the beginning. Forever. Infinite. Welcome.
All right, that was, sounds kind of mysterious because of the way he did it, but that was basically it. It was just, saying, talking about energy and the way energy is and the energy will always be. But if you can imagine sitting down and watching something like that and the imagery that's being presented to you, and they're talking about, energy and life force being energy, and understanding that you are constant energy. Energy will dissipate, but it never ceases to exist. So on and so forth. So you start listening to that, and the images that are presented. You may see something about the third eye or the chakra system, and the chi force or the energy force that lives that's within us. Those are images that you may see and you may hear. But as we you get that type of message in a song. If you're unaware of what you're getting into or what you're dealing with, you may miss what's being fed to you, and you'll go from one type of thing to another type of mentality, so on and so forth. But like I said, I want to play a couple of songs, and the first one I want to do, I want to go back, like I said, I want to go back to the old school. I used to do an old school mix all the time, and one of my favorites is Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, The Message, and I want to go in from there. I'll play another one of my favorites, but still, it has an influence on the type of what we listen to and how we're influenced by music. So I'm gonna start out with Grandmaster Flash, Furious Five, and then we'll go into another one and we'll kind of talk about that and the messages, some of the things that it depicted in the imagery that you may receive during that, and how the industry was taken over essentially and basically given to you, repackaged and given to you, because now you have images of Chief Keef and you have all of these images of thugs, and rap has become gangster to the point where you really, a lot of, rap that's given to you, if it's not anything positive, you may hear someone who's an underground rapper because, they say Lupe Fiasco, someone like that, because of the fact. But we're controlled, and we talked about the political system and how things are done. Even today, within our policing of certain situations, we are subjugated to certain ways of thinking, certain things that are going on, certain images that are promoted. But anyway, you'll hear some of that in the message that we're getting from Grandmaster Flash. The actual song is called The Message. So here we go. We're going to play that, and then we'll come back, and we'll talk about it for a few minutes, and then we'll go right back into another song. So here you go. There we go.
sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. Broken glass everywhere. People pissing on the stage, you know they just don't care. I can't take the smell, can't take the noise. Got no money to move out, I guess I got no choice. Rats in the front room, roaches in the back. Junkies in the alley with the baseball bat. I tried to get away, but I couldn't get far, cause a man with a touch of repossessed my car. So push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. Standing on the front stoop, hanging out the window, watching all the cars go by, roaring as the breezes blow. Crazy lady living in a bag, eating out of garbage bales, used to be a fag hag. Such a dance, a tango, skipped the life and tango. A certain aunt princess seemed to lost her senses. Down at the peep show, watching all the creeps, so she could tell her stories to the girls back home. She went to the city and got so did it. She had to get a push, she couldn't make it on her own. So push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. My brother's doing fast on my mother's TV. Says she watches too much, it's just not healthy. All my children in the daytime, Dallas at night. Can't even see the game or the Sugar Ray fight. The bill collectors, they ring my phone and scare my wife when I'm not home. Got a bum education, double-digit inflation. Can't take the train to the job, there's a strike at the station. Neon King Kong standing on my back, can't stop to turn around. Broke my sacroiliac, a mid-range migraine, cancer membrane. Sometimes I think I'm going insane, I swear I might hijack a plane. Don't push me, call, I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. My son said, Daddy, I don't want to go to school, cause the teacher's a jerk. He must think I'm a fool, and all the kids smoke reefer. I think it'd be cheaper if I just got a job, learn to be a street sweeper. I dance to the beat, shuffle my feet, wear a shirt and tie, and run with the creeps. Cause it's all about money, ain't a damn thing funny. You got to have a con in this land of milk and honey. They pushed that girl in front of the train, took her to the doctor, sewed her arm on the game. Stabbed that man right in his heart. Gave him a transplant for a brand new start. I can't walk through the park cause it's crazy after dark. Keep my hand on my gun cause they got me on the run. I feel like an outlaw, broke my last glass jaw. Hear them say, you want some more? Living on a seesaw. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. You say what? It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep going under. A child is born with no state of mind, blind to the ways of mankind. God is smiling on you, but he's frowning too, because only God knows what you'll go through. You'll grow in the ghetto, living second rate, and your eyes will sing a song of deep hate. The places you play and where you stay looks like one great big alleyway. You'll admire all the number book takers, thugs, pimps, and pushers, and the big money makers. Driving big cars in the 20s and 10s, and you want to grow up to be just like them. Smugglers, scramblers, burglars, gamblers, pickpocket peddlers, even panhandlers. You say, I'm cool, I'm no fool, but then you wind up dropping out of high school. Now you're unemployed, all non-void, walking around like your pretty boy Floyd. Turned stick-up kid, but look what you done did. Got sent up for an 8-year bid. Now your manhood is cooked and you're a Maytag. Spend the next 2 years as an undercover fag, being used and abused to serve like hell. Till one day you was found hung dead in the cell. It was plain to see that your life was lost. You was cold and your body swung back and forth. But now your eyes sing the sad, sad song of how you live so fast and die so young. So don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
Yo, Mel, you see that girl, man?
Yeah, man.
Yo, that sound like Cowboy, man.
Cool.
Yo, what's up, money?
Yo.
Hey, we're stealing Raheem, man.
Hey, I'm still cooling out.
What's up for tonight, y'all?
Yo, we can go down to the beach, man.
Check out June, bro.
Hey, yo, you know that girl Betty?
Yeah, man.
Her mom's a dog, man.
What?
Yeah, she man. Got hurt bad.
What's happening?
Freeze. Don't nobody move nothing. Y'all don't do this. Get him up. Get him up.
Yo, man, we down with
Grand Master Flash and the Fury.
That's fine.
We got a gang.
Nah, man.
Shut up. I don't hear your mouth. Shut up. What's the problem?
Get up. You the problem.
Yo, you ain't got to put this
car. Get in the car. Get in the car.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Conversations. If you just tuned in and wondering what's going on, if you are a normal listener to the show, you know that every now and then I'll play something old school, but tonight I'm doing it to stress a message. And actually, the song was called Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five. The song is titled The Message. Very old song. Actually, I actually thought it was, you know, it goes back, let's see, late 70s, early 80s. But the song, again, the message basically talks about the plight of the community. It talks about the situations that are going on in the community. You know, conversations, if you listen to it, he talks about, you know, he says, my son says, Daddy, I don't want to go to school because the teacher's a jerk. He must think I'm a fool. You know, and he breaks down, you know, the economy, the job situations, you know, just saying basically if I got a job as a street sweeper, you know, dance my feet and shuffle my feet, you know, wear a shirt and tie and run with the creeps. It talks to the mentality of a group of people who understand that certain things were going on and you could do certain things, you know, as opposed to just being going to school and being, you know, one of the drones, get a job, you know, shirt and tie, and you're doing this mindless job. He's saying basically I could do the same thing and be, you know, be a common janitor or a street sweeper. So it talks about, you know, how we saw and viewed the community. It wasn't necessarily something that put us in a different mind state of I want to loot and riot. It made, you know, open, talked about where we were, you know, outside of a blues situation. You could rap about it. You could put it into lyrics and you could talk about it. And the thing is, you hear the chant, you know, don't push me because I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. And then they say it's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. You know, and it's funny because even as you hear it, you're like, yeah. And it was introduced to you again later on, over 20 years later, in the movie Happy Feet. Because when the little penguins were trying to find their own self, they had their own song. And you heard one of the penguins using that lyric, you know, using the chorus to it. Don't push me, it's, you know, because I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder. And they actually used Stevie Wonder's song, you know, oh my goodness, it slipped my mind. It's not Superstition. That song is actually on my head, and I'll probably play it on the way going out. That was, you know, the mind frame that was going on back then. Now, somewhere along the line, you start to pick up things like conscious music. And I call it conscious music now, but back then it was just rap. It was the hardcore stuff. It was the hardcore of its time. You had Public Enemy, the X-Clan, and for whatever reason, I don't have any of that loaded up. I wish I did have some loaded up so that you could hear it. But the truth of the matter is, it was talking, it was more direct. It was talking more, it was giving us a direct message. Be self-reliant. Do things for yourself. Don't rely on the system. The system is corrupt. The system has never been your friend. Don't necessarily follow the ideology that every black person you meet is your friend, because like Chuck D said in Welcome to the Terror Dome, every brother ain't a brother just because of color, just as well be undercover. You know, and he talks about, and he uses the analogy that Malcolm X was assassinated by black men. Marcus Garvey was betrayed by black men. It wasn't the government directly coming after them, but it was the system that influenced people to take down individuals who had ideas for self-reliance to some degree. So we moved from that into, you start to see the appearance of heavy rotation of groups like, you know, you actually see the biopic movie of NWA, the biography of how Niggas With Attitude came to light. And if you think about it, even when they started rapping, they were talking about their community. They were talking about the things that they experienced or what they, you know, what they saw through their eyes. Because you have to keep in mind, Dre was already in music when NWA came out. Ren was in music. DJ Yella was in music with them. That left Eazy-E and Ice Cube. O'Shea Jackson went to, I think if I'm not mistaken, O'Shea went to a prep school. I think Eazy-E probably was the only drug, you know, street person that was in the group. But Eazy was the rapper. Ice Cube was the writer, the music writer, and Dre was the beats person. So you had all of this combination. Within that, you saw the, you know, Interscope Records seized the opportunity to influence youth. So we start talking about it. We start talking about the influence of gangster rap on individuals. We're talking about drugs. We now talk, now you have the entrance of Bitches and Hoes. You have these, the mindset. Now we start to introduce it. So now people are consuming it. Now every woman, you know, everyone wants to cruise down the street in my 6'4", jocking the bitches and clocking the hoes. You know, that's, and they're yelling gangster, gangster. So we start to develop this mindset. You see the transition, and eventually this transition takes over. Now you have all of these groups that are now, you know, it's the East Coast and West Coast thing. Now we have black people on the West Coast upset or just naturally against the people from the East, blacks from the East Coast. And we have this natural beef, and it's created by the, you know, between the rap artists. You see Tupac on the West Coast, Biggie on the East Coast. When it's funny because Tupac is actually born in Brooklyn, but that's another story. You saw this clash and this, you know, these individuals who were like, yeah, we hate each other. And when it started to get realistic, when the people that were rapping about the stuff that they disliked about the East or the West Coast had to actually deal with some real life thugs and criminals, then it became a problem. They understood that we can keep rapping about this, but we'd have our issues. The next song that I want to play is another one of the favorites. I actually listened to this when I was in school. It was actually on title track for a movie, Jason's Lyric. and if you, I don't know if you remember it, but I'm going to play it. It's actually UGK, Pocket Full of Stones. So I'm going to hit that right now. Tell me how it changed the way we think of music.
Moving down. Looking for the bitches with the big butt. Wanted for a homicide, cause I'm the type of nigga that's built to last. Fuck with me, I put my foot in your ass. See, I don't give a fuck, cause I keep bellin', bellin'. Yo, what the fuck are they yelling? Had to smoke his ass. He kept rolling. I jumped in the bucket. We couldn't catch him, so I said, fuck it. Then we headed right back to the fort, sweating all the bitches in the biker shorts. We didn't get no play from the ladies. With six niggas in the car, are you crazy? She was scared, and it was showing. We all said, fuck you, bitch, and kept going to the hood, and we was into find something else to get into, like some pussy, or in fact, a bum rush. We call it rat pack. On a nigga for nothing at all. Ice Cube go stupid when I'm full of eight ball. I might stumble, but still won't lose. Now I'm dressed in the county blues. Cause I'm the type of nigga that's built to last. If you fuck with me, I put my foot in your ass. I don't give a fuck, cause I keep bellin', bellin'. Yo, what the fuck are they yelling?
Wait a minute, cut this shit.
Man, what you gonna do now?
What we gonna do right here is go back.
How far you going back?
Way back.
As we go a little something like this.
Here's a little gangster short inside. The t-shirt Levi's is his only disguise. Built like a tank, yet hard to hit. Ice Cube and Easy E call running shit.
Well, I'm Easy E, the one they're talking about. Niggas tried to roll a dice and just crapped out. Police tried to roll, so it's time to go. I creeped away real slow and jumped in the 6-4 with the
diamond in the back.
Digging the scene with the gangster lean, cause I'm the E. I don't slang or bang, I just smoke motherfuckers like it ain't no thing. And all you bitches, bitch, you know I'm talking to you.
We wanna fuck you, Easy.
I wanna fuck you too, because you see, I don't really take no shit.
So let me tell you motherfuckers who you fucking with.
Cause I'm the type of nigga that's built to last. If you fuck with me, I put a foot in your ass. I don't give a fuck, cause I keep bailing, bailing. Yo, what the fuck are they yelling?
Welcome back to Common Sense Conversation. I threw an extra one in there for you in case you just shocked yourself a little bit. I don't know. But the first song was by the Underground Kings, UGK, Pocket Full of Stones. And like I said, you can find that. Actually came out with Jason's Lyric, if I'm not mistaken. It was on the title track to the movie. The one that came after that was NWA's Gangsta Gangsta. And like I said, songs like that kind of was the shifting point in the type of music that we listened to and what, you know, like I said, you could hear it. If you were taken aback by what you were listening to, you actually heard the shift. It was actually, you know, now we're talking, you know, we not just talking about women. We're talking, you know, now that bitches and hoes, you know, this is what we're going to do. You know, and like I said, they were talking about things that they experienced or saw coming from the neighborhoods that they lived in. Whether they actually did it was a totally different situation. But the fact of the matter is, that was the shift. Now you start to see from there, you see NWA, like I said, then you start hearing groups like UGK, Pocket Full of Stones, talking about the idea of selling drugs and dope in the neighborhood and how you came up and, you know, you going through the process of making money and everybody's got money in their pocket. Mom is now taken care of. And this is the same story, same analogy that we've always experienced. look at every movie and look at every, every movie, every song that talks about drug dealers, it's always the rise and fall of a drug dealer. You start out low level, make money, then everybody that's in your family and your crew, your group of friends, they're making money as well. Now we're at a point where we're making so much money, you know, at some point you draw attention to yourself and you are arrested for selling dope. Then you, like in this situation with UGK, they say basically get busted and then they get back on the street, get a pocket full of stones and start all over again. So, you know, you hear it, and they're saying the same thing. I got a pocket full of stone. I got a pocket. And, this is being thrown at you. This is, you know, this is the chant. And this is the rhythm. You got, you know, the bass line. The bass line is rhythmic, and it's keep going. You just keep hearing it. And then you hear the chant to it. I got a pocket full of stones. And, you know, the bass line is just keep. You have to keep in mind that this imagery that's being produced in your head creates something that you're digesting. And if you don't think that, then you have to understand what chanting is. Chanting, and I should have explained this. I think I did, but I'll explain it again. Chanting is a rhythmic speaking or singing of words or sounds, often and primarily one or two maintained pitches, and basically recited tones. So imagine when you hear this and you're starting to talk and it's like, I got a pocket full of stone, and you're steadily pushing that beat. Or you hear the high pitch, gangsta, gangsta. That's what they yelling. It's not about a salary. It's all about reality. So now I'm taking you out of the mindset of being someone who is looking to make some type of living that's pushing towards something better, but dealing with the realities of what's going on in your neighborhood, if those are the realities now, or creating a new reality of what's being said. D is in the chat room. You need to come on. Stop playing with me. Talking about I just made a rap. But that's the mentality. And this is what I was talking about. This is the reality of what we're dealing with in our society and how it changed. And this is, and I know I focus primarily on music, but the imagery that we get when we see certain things, this is why it's easy to have movements like Black Lives Matter and talk about it and then look at why, the laws have changed. The laws haven't really changed. The laws don't necessarily support the things that we're asking for, but the imagery lets you know that the transition and where we're moving is different. You're starting to, just like it's simple things. Let me point to you this. And this is that Illuminati type stuff that we're dealing with about shifts in consciousness. You're starting to see more movies dealing with that again. You're starting to see shifts in consciousness, ways of thinking or altered states or consciousness transferring from one body to the next. You're seeing it in several different movies. yeah, you really got to press one. So, but you see all of these different mentalities going on and changing, and we're changing, and we're moving, and the conversations change. You know, just like we're so caught up in. Yeah, I got Jason on the phone with me. You see the change of mentality of people that are talking in just like reality shows. We're so caught up in reality shows. We call them reality shows, even though they're scripted. We're so caught up in reality shows, we don't even see the fact that our political climate has become a reality show. The GOP mm-hmm. debates are more of a reality show. You have the jester, Donald Trump, who makes all of these outlandish comments, and they incite people. They're insightful. They're comedic. People are able to make jokes off of them on the late night talk shows. People are talking about his hair. He's going back and forth with other candidates. You have a mixture of people who are actually in there, and some people are actually speaking certain things that have some truth to it. But it seems so out of touch that we have a hard time grasping. But you wonder why so many people are apt to buy into that mentality. It's because they think that these individuals are speaking to them on their level. And to some degree, you have different belief sets, you know, or not even belief sets, but they're speaking to you in different tones. They speak to you in different approaches. They speak to your philosophy in order to keep you distracted from the overall picture. Hey, Dia, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Oh, I'm just dandy. So I'm finishing up our conversation from last night on signs and symbolism.
I see.
Yeah. So I
like that you actually played the music so people can understand.
Yeah. Well, they need to know.
Why you didn't do that last night?
Because I didn't have it queued up. And I was trying to get it queued up, but I couldn't, you know, I couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
I apologize. Don't be mad.
I'm not mad.
Okay, good. But I did want people to understand, especially how interesting it is that a lot of people are actually going to see Straight Outta Compton as if, you know, it had, you know, because it, for whatever reason, now it's actually embraced by a new culture of children. Because, like, I play Gangsta Gangster, you know, they listen to that. They listen to, you know, Straight Outta Compton. Because they think that music is hard. You know, even a dog likes Straight Outta Compton. Look at him. So,
that's not why my dog is barking. Okay, let's get that clear. But I think the main problem with the movie Straight Outta Compton is that, I'm saying it's a problem, but it was done for a reason. It's basically the way the movie was set up. And I haven't seen the movie, but this is what I've heard. This is what I've told. What I've been told, and for talking to people who are not really into rap music, Latino music, it kind of glorifies them in a way. It kind of gives them, like, pays homage to them. And
yeah.
The problem with that is for generations now who are watching this movie, they don't understand that while I'm not going to give them total credit, I can't give them total credit because it's a much bigger issue than just them. It was more of a publication of the disintegration of hip-hop. You know, that really, when they came out, and again, I was very young, so by the time I actually realized what was going on with them, I was like maybe in my teens. I'm being honest, shut up. I was in my teens, but I was still young enough to know, I was still, you know, old enough, I should say, to know the difference in the music. And also, where I grew up at, after I got a certain age, I started understanding exactly what hip-hop truly was and how spiritual it actually was. And for me, with that movie, it more so set the movie. I'm not going to say how it actually happened because it started a little bit before them, but they were the main ones that publicized it. It set the disintegration of hip-hop, and it took it from something spiritual and took it to another place where once it got there was no turning back, and then there was nothing positive that could come out of it. You know, the people here and there, they still tried, but, you know, they was looked upon as corny, or they made a distinctive line between hip-hop and rap. There's a big line now. And when you truly understand what hip-hop is, then you'll see, because hip-hop is not just putting lyrics to a beat. You know, hip-hop involves people because every person has a position they have to play. And a rap, you just put lyrics to a beat and call it a day. So, you know, with me being in the occult world and understanding the occult side of things, it really puts a dividing line between the two, a huge dividing line between the two. And to me, even, I'm going to say it again, I have nothing to move, but this is what I've been told. For some people who do not understand, some people who do understand, it glorifies the rap. And once hip-hop went into rap, it basically was nowhere to go but downhill. even if the rap wasn't so negative, it still didn't have that that energy behind it. I will say that. Like one of my favorite, like one of the songs, one of the you know, I love Fresh Prince. I do. But once him and Jazzy Jeff start working together, his music kind of, the feeling of it kind of changed. I mean, the feeling of it changed. That's just another way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's one of the people that I grew up on. You know, it just felt different afterwards. And that was before mm-hmm. I even knew what was really going on, because I really didn't start understanding everything until I was a teenager. As far as the cult side of things, because I was never really a big rap head. There were some people that I loved, but I was never really into rap or hip-hop and stuff like that. I was always into neo soul, more of the lyrical singing aspect of that.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so it is. Like, the main problem with the movies that people are watching it now, and they're thinking that this is the thing to be, but if you actually go to the history of the people and take it past that movie, you know, and it's not just our culture. When you really pay attention to movies, most of the movies glorify the destruction of that culture, not the actual beginning or the principles that started out. It always goes to where it always is glorified and twisted in the way to where the destruction of it now becomes the honoration. People don't pay, and that's mm-hmm. that's what mostly anything when you're dealing with Hollywood. That's what most people don't pay attention to.
We actually have a caller. Let me see. Call out of L.A. I think this is L.A. You made Eazy-E call us, dear. Shame on you.
Whatever.
Caller. I'm going to open the line. Caller.
Call me. I got questions.
Caller in California. You're on Common Sense Conversation.
No doubt.
Who are we speaking with?
Good. What's good? This is the Preach King.
The Preach King?
Yeah, definitely. It's kind of good to hear people that's into the occult as well. I started out, you know, someone seeking knowledge and information as well, and it led me into deeper sciences, you know, and which people call magic, but it's not magic, of course. It's just hidden science. It's occult science. So, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
But I wanted to kind of, I guess, hint to off of what you were just saying, what the sister was just saying about the government, and not so much the government, but like the entertainment industry, because I'm out here in California, and it's like funny. But like we're talking about like the NWA thing or whatever. Like we gotta look at somebody like Rick Ross, who's like, you know, the real Rick Ross, who's like a major drug dealer, right? But he'll tell mm-hmm. you he never thought about selling drugs until he's still super fly, you know? So it's like
yeah.
That's the same thing with like NWA. Like we like what happened to hip hop was when the kids took over. You know, I'm recently kinda older so I can kinda see what happened, but like, you know, Ice Cube was at the time, he's in high school, he's writing raps for Eazy-E. You see what I'm saying? So now you got a kid saying stuff that he's not doing. Only imagine it. And you got a real one looking like he's really delivering it, you know what I'm saying? Like
mm-hmm.
like you played the Melly
yeah.
Mel track, he was an old head, you know what I'm saying? He talking about his car being repossessed. He had real issues and real concerns, you see? So they took our leaders away, you know what I'm saying? That people would experience
mm-hmm.
this again. You know, the rapper's your hero, you know what I'm saying? He's getting paid, he's doing his job, you want to be like him. So now we want to be like kids that have no experience, that have never, you know, accomplished anything. So they willing to stay, and that's what hip hop is too. Hip hop is the dozens, it's competition. If you killed somebody, I killed two people. You know what I'm saying? If
yeah.
you blew up a building, I blew up a city. So it's not even, they have to be real
I'm
at a certain
disagree.
Point.
I'm going to disagree. I'm going to have to say that's rap, that's not hip hop. That's just my point of view. I'm just saying, for me, from my point of view, I'm going to have to say that was you kill one, I kill two. That's rap. That's not hip-hop.
Well, I mean, again, it's the dozens. I mean, if you know, I'm in a hotel, motel, Holiday Inn. I'm not in the shack. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm somewhere getting mm-hmm. money. I'm doing the best. You know what I'm saying? Hip-hop is like, it's a competition type of thing. It's a one-up. You know what I'm saying? Like, it is the blues, but it's the it's the reverse of the blues. It's the I made it blues. You know, there's like
mm-hmm.
I see you more into neo soul, which came up out of you know what I'm saying, hip-hop. But that wasn't the origin. The origin of hip-hop was, you know, yo, we, you know, we trying to talk about some big, some better stuff. We want to imagine us making it, you know, being Superfly, being those movies that they was watching in the 70s.
Yeah, well, you know, I think that this is what I was getting at with whether it was hip-hop or rap. It was the fact that, you know, my thing was rap had been hijacked for the government, and this is, you know, using the whole, that whole influence, that whole genre of music in order to influence a group of people. It's just kind of like just going to
think.
There are extra. Okay. But to influence a group of people, but it's kind of like just like we see in movies and all the time where you see people with their pants hanging down, you know, they're sagging. We talk about it. It's a bad thing. We knew it came from the prison system, but it was pushed to us in a different way. Okay, that's good.
King Priest. I'm sorry, King. Priest King. It's a lot of background noise. So can you just mute your phone until you're ready to talk? We're not going to put you on mute, but can you just mute your phone until you're ready to talk to cut out the background noise?
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Sorry.
Thank you.
Okay, no problem. But, you know, now that they influenced you to put, you know, wear your pants lower than your butt, you're now walking funny. Now you start to see the medical signs, the physical signs of it, where they're talking about your hips are displaced. It causes problems with you walking. Not only that, but then they start to institute laws that would.
That's not how they came up with that, though. He was like, Easy, why you wear your pants like that? For easy access. You know what I'm saying? Like, and he got that from Mars Day.
I've worked in the prison system. I know exactly where it comes from. Just like I know where you used to see, you know, hip-hop artists and some people, like even LL Cool J, used to wear his pant leg up, one leg up, one leg down. And even he will tell you where that comes from. That comes from when the police will pull you over and search you, put you up against the wall, and they frisk you. And, you know, sometimes you'd be left with one pant leg up, one pant leg down. If you go into a prison system, you will see certain people. You either see them holding a belt loop, you see the lining of the pocket, or you see someone walking around, individual who's free. My thing is,
again,
we've created
the
a
point
society
is
that.
Go ahead. So I think you're about to go where I was going to say. No,
uh-huh.
I was saying because you explain it. It kind of it's towards the point, but it's kind of taking the point on like a whole 360 where you got to go all around and come back to the same point. But I think you're still getting to the same point where I was saying anyway. So go ahead.
No, I'm just saying that, you know, the influence of the culture that we're doing, they took something, they take symbols and visual images, get you into it, and then we start to emulate those things and believe it. Now you have someone, again, you have someone like Easy talking about easy access. So now we believe that image that was created is acceptable, and we start to believe it and digest it as truth and reality. It comes from different places, and we're just not, like I said, we're introducing this mentality to a different generation all over again. I don't know if that
would
be close to what you were about to say, Dia,
well,
but I'm just...
It's kind of close. What I want to say is, even though you went the route of explaining it, which is good that you explained where it comes from, basically what I want to say is, again, glorifying the disintegration of a culture. It's glorifying everything we want not to happen, everything we don't want to do. Like, let's take stuff out of it. If you know that sagging pants comes from jail, then what type of energy are you calling to yourself every time your pants sag? If you know that wearing one leg rolled up comes from the police searching you and the police not putting the leg back down after they search you, what kind of energy are you calling to you when you do this stuff? Then this comes from the call aspect. You're calling for the police to search you because that's where the energy comes from. That's the origin of the energy. So now that it's been glorified in hip-hop, and well, not hip-hop, so it's been glorified, and, well, no, some of it, as far as the sagging pants has been glorified in hip hop. But now it's been glorified rap and music and mainstream. That energy of where it started is still there. So when you start to emulate this stuff and you go out into the world, that energy is still there. And even in the cop's mind, they may not consciously know it. Subconsciously, it connects to that energy that says, oh, this person must have a history of doing things, of getting locked up or getting searched or whatever. That energy is still there. So now when it happens to this person thinks, oh, it's this, and this. And then sometimes it may be, but majority of the time it's not. It's because you're calling that energy to yourself. That's what happens. If every time when you're driving down the street, your heart starts to palpitate every time you see a police car, you need to question yourself, what type of energy has he put on you that you cannot function in society when the police drive by? And you have to think about when you're doing that, the police is watching you, and they can watch you through your rearview mirror. So they see you looking at them even though you don't think about it. They see you get the steering wheel tight. They see you sweat. They see you do this, they see you do that. And that sends off signals, and they have to pull you over. Now, again, I'm not justifying the police because there are a lot of times they're totally wrong. They are just totally wrong, period. I was born and raised in Philadelphia, and it's a lot of stuff that do not hit the media that should have hit the media. But at the same time, from an occult aspect, I have to look at it from an energy point of view and how energy gets started, how energy gets created, and what energy is being glorified across the board, no matter what race you are. Even though some races, when it becomes certain things, they will have it harder than others, and that's a whole other topic for a whole other day. But you still have to look at it from certain things attract certain energy. Before you get into that, you have to know where the energy comes from. And again, as far as from the cult, that's what the head is. And the most part about a cult, the first thing about a cult is seek knowledge first. Seek knowledge first. And most of the stuff that's hidden from you is the true knowledge of the things that you do, of where it comes from. So I'm going to leave it right there because I can go to a whole nother.
Yeah, and this is not the two-hour show tonight. See, this is not the two-hour show, but yeah. So, I mean, and that's one of the things that I realized is that, you know, you have someone, you know, people on the line, we're talking about symbols and imagery and things like that. And, you know, someone like Priest King, you give information. And that's good that we can share information. We just need to all make sure that we can differentiate between the fact and fiction, and it's not that you are spitting fiction, but I'm just saying, you know, there are a lot of things that I may look at totally different than what someone else may look
fiction?
At. And
you say I'm spitting fiction?
Huh?
Because she just agreed with what I said was, because, again,
slow down, brother, I didn't say that. What I just said was I wasn't saying that you were spitting fiction. I said that we all have different versions of it, and it's not to say that you were spitting fiction. It's just that sometimes we have different approaches and different avenues to it. I wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, you know, some people are surface level. Some people. That's what I'm saying. I'm just here digging up in the scene. You know, I understand I may be at a higher level on my occult wisdom, but you know, I'm not here to judge. But again, for me, I just wanted to say that I'm not. You know, I'm not even trying to. You know, imposing a conversation. I just wanted to interject that thought, you know, and that was it. Like, as far as the whole root of the situation is when you're dealing with occult magic. What's happening to these children that's under spells is not the magic. That's the effect of the spell. So that's what y'all not dealing with. That's what I was bringing into the counter situation. But, you know, you got it. I'm just following back.
Well, Priest King, to be totally honest, this is not a show about magic. Now, if you want to join us on Seeking Empowerment, which we do once a month on Sundays, you're more than welcome to join it and go in as deep as you want on it. But even though, again, I have more of a cult history than Eric does, so I do touch on a lot because that's my point of reference. But this show is not an occult show, and I do apologize if I gave you that that impression that it is. But to say that, I'm not disagreeing with you at all. I'm just saying that the reason why we don't go that deep with it is because this is not that type of show. But again, we have Seeking Empowerment once a month on Sundays, normally on or around a new moon. Our next show will be in October, and then we're taking a hiatus for a while. But if you want to come back on that show and talk about the cost and go as deep as you want, I would love to pick your brain and see what you know. Cause
I live in Hollywood. I deal with the occult every day. So, I mean, you know, you could catch a conversation with somebody like me. it should be a beautiful thing. I'm not the disrespectful joke. I know you want to talk about a cult, but again, the conversation with it, I didn't bring it up. The conversation with it, don't be afraid because somebody comes through a different level of patience.
No, wait. It's not about being afraid. It's not about being afraid. Again, I'm very open. I'm just saying this is not the platform to go that deep. In the cult, you also, when you say the cult, you also know there's a time and place for everything. This is the time and the place to go, but so far, because this is not the platform. And that's why I brought up the other show that we do, Seeking Empowerment, and that's the time and place to go in as deep as you want. That's what I'm saying. So I don't want you to, we're not disagreeing with you. Me having a cult background, I totally agree. And I'm not from Hollywood, but I'm from Philadelphia, and I've seen how it went down. I was there, and I've seen how they pushed stuff around. I was there when they pushed the this phrase, oh, yeah, listen, AIDS is a killer, way before people even knew what freaking AIDS was, and then all of a sudden they started hitting everybody, and everybody started popping up with AIDS. I understand how the occult works. I understand how they push it out first, the magic, and then everything else is the result of the magic. I totally get that. What I'm saying is this is not the platform to go as deep as me or you would like to go with it. But we have another show that we do once a month called Seeking Empowerment, where I'm inviting you to come back on that show, and we can go as deep as you want into the occult and how things happen. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Definitely. I appreciate that, and I'll check that. I'll be tuning in now. Since you're inviting me to tune in and find out when it is, I'll definitely come back and check that out. I appreciate it.
Thank you. We're not saying we got. We're just saying on this show we can't go past a certain level. But on the other show, we can go as deep as you want to go.
My bad. But like again, like I'm just trying to say I wasn't even going deep. I'm serious. I wasn't even trying to go deep. I wasn't. That's what I'm saying. I'm falling back.
That's what when us in the call, we go deeper than most people realize, and we think we're not even deep. But it happens. I got you.
All right, cool. Falling back. I'm here.
Awesome. Well, yeah. If you're on Facebook, you can find it on Seeking Empowerment. We actually have a fan page for it, and that's where we keep we post things about the show. We post things, just different articles that may catch our eye. But it's not to say that, you know, again, like Dia said, no one's afraid. We're just talking about symbolism and the effects of symbolism and symbolism and imagery that's presented to us. You know, this show is basically talking to people who may not necessarily pick up on the, you know, certain symbols that are presented to you on a TV show that you're watching. You know, you may see, you know, the snake and certain things being done, and you may not recognize the symbol of the serpent and what it's doing, or what a dragon represents, or, you know, certain things that are presented in the movie. And this is why we're talking about the songs. And if you listen early on, you talked about, you know, you heard some of the things, you know, the Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five. And you might have heard, you know, UGK, and, you know, it just talked about the transformation, how that was used in order to deliver as a delivery system to young people. And the idea of what rap represented, that rap is a form of chanting, and the music and the rhythmic. And I was talking about, even mm-hmm. with UGK, the bass line. You know, you may not, you know, just like you mentioned Superfly. And that, you know, and that's why I was alluding to earlier when I said storyline to drug dealers is always the same. They always want to get to a certain point. You know, even with Superfly, he wanted to get out of the game. But he was at a high point in that, and he was just trying to get out. But it's the same mentality. And like I said, even with that, you had Curtis Mayfield create the baseline for it. And the baseline for Superfly is very similar to the baseline that you hear with UGK and what they were trying to, you know, in the message that they were trying to do. And at the same time, like I said, when you hear someone going, I got a pocket full of stones, and they're chanting it at that rhythm and that bass, that deep baseline, they're dropping it. So we're talking to a group of people or trying to enlighten people on a different level and show them that when you turn the TV on, when you turn the radio on, even when you know, any type of media, it creates a certain mindset. It opens the door,
And they're speaking not just to you on a conscious level. A lot of times the imagery and the things that you hear and see are addressing you on an unconscious level, and we just haven't paid attention to it, but we know we like it, you know, to some degree. And that's why they always say, you know, the basic thing is they know that sex sells. That is most economists will tell you sex is a recession-proof business. No matter what the economy is like, sex will always be on the upturn.
Sex is the only thing that sells, period.
Yeah.
If we want to be honest, the only thing that creates, or as we say, sells, is sex. And throughout the years, they've always used sex. They've just done it, and depending on the time or the culture, they've done it in the way that the culture dictated it. And now where we're in a more forward-facing culture, a more open culture, I should say, now you're seeing sex more prominent, and it's become so common that most people don't even realize they're using sex to sell. There's no reason why a girl should have a boobs out to buy a to sell a burger to you. But they do that because sex sells. That's the oldest energy and the only – first of all, sex is the only creative energy. No, even if it's a species that is what's the word for it? I want to say same sex, but not the same sex. It would be a species that could create by themselves. It's still the sexual principles that's there.
Yeah, asexual.
There you go. Thank you. I had a brain fart. But thank you. It's still those principles there that actually create. So again, not going too deep into the cult. When you go into the cult, we know that sex is the only thing that creates. So therefore, for us to create create energy to get you to want to buy what I want, I have to use the sexual energy. Back then, it was very subliminal. Now, it's a little more open, but it's still the same thing. There's no other nothing else that creates sex. Because sex is the only way anything can manifest into this earth and in the earth that we see before us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's called sex.
We can even take that back into rap music.
That's a whole study. That's a whole study area. If y'all wanted to get into that.
It is. We take it back to rap music. It's the reason why you always see half-naked girls in the video. They ain't got nothing to do with them. They're bringing that sexual energy there. It's the reason why they do that. Because sex sells, sex creates. That's what it's for.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Well, got quiet real quick. we got 5 minutes.
Cut it off.
Yeah, we got 5 minutes.
So I'm shot. No overtime?
I'm not going overtime. I did 90 minutes tonight. I'm not doing 2 hours. I'm trying to hold off on certain things.
I'm just coming at your neck because you came with my neck yesterday about overtime. So I'm just coming at your neck a little bit. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, for the person that's in the chat room, it's not that sex. I want to clear this up. It's not that sex is the end-all, be-all. It's the creative force that gets it started. When you look at nature, there's nothing in this world that doesn't come into this world without two different things coming together in some type of way. And that creates something else. Like when you say 1 + 1 = 2, there's still two different ones coming together, mixing together to create something else, which will be the number 2. It's still the sexual principle. We're not saying that sex is the end-all, be-all. We're saying that is the basic principle that is played out in order to create over and over again in very symbiotic ways. Not the end-all, be-all. It's the start. But the problem is most people have not gone past the start. They're stuck there. So they're basically creating a bunch of things, and these things are never able to grow and form and grow and mature. And that's one of the main problems. Again, that could be a whole other show about that one. That's one of the problems. That's another problem that we're having today. Because things are being created and not able to mature. But, it's not the end-all, be-all. That is the starting point. That's the starting principle that everything has to come from.
Yeah. And, you know, and oddly enough, that's the second time in within 24 hours that I've heard someone talk about sex being shouldn't be the end-all, be-all, or sex shouldn't be as important. And I had to say the very same thing as far as sex is, you know, even Mary says it again, it's commanded. It's one of your mandates. It is a natural thing. It's a part of nature. It is, you know, be fruitful and multiply. And we tend to want to limit or subjugate that to certain areas. Mary, I can invite you to come back in October in the next few days, and we're going to talk about sex all month long. I'm going sex,
yes.
Sex,
you're going sex
and
crazy.
More sex. Yes, sex crazy. So come back, man. But for those of you listening, for, you know, Priest King, Mary, thank you all for tuning in, being part of tonight's show. Common Sense Conversations normally airs every Monday on Blog Talk Radio. You can find us blogtalkradio.com/Common Sense Conversations. Find us there, follow the show, tune into the topics, listen to the archive. You're more than welcome to do that. You can also find Common Sense Conversations on Facebook. We have a fan page set up for Common Sense Conversations. Just type in the words Common Sense Conversation and you will find us there. Like that page. You can also find Seeking Empowerment, another show that we do once a month. Again, like I talked to, said earlier, that's once a month. Find the page there, Seeking Empowerment. Like that page as well. Within the next couple of months, you know, as Seeking Empowerment goes on hiatus, I'll be trying to pull up some more shows geared towards different types of different mentalities, different things that are going on in the world. But you're invited to stick around and see what we have to offer. We'll also be, I think next week, I think I'm going to try Blab. I don't know if I can get Scotty to come in because I have a guest, Scotty Lowe from Afroerotic, coming in.
Yeah.
She'll be on the show. So I'm going to see if I can get, wait. No, Scotty's not coming next week. Next week, we're still in, I got one more week, September. Okay, so Scotty's coming October 5th.
I got a way that can work out, but I'll show you off air, but I got a way that can still work out, even if she does want to be on, but
next week, join me. I have a griot coming in, and if you don't know what a griot is, that's storyteller. So storyteller is coming in, and her name is Darby West, and we'll see what stories, you know, talk about the griot and their role in the community, and should be interesting. So I would like to invite you to come back, be a part of the show. If you want to talk to us, you can do so by sending an email, commonsenseconvo@gmail.com. That's commonsenseconvo@gmail.com, one word. But until then, that's our show for tonight with less than 30 seconds to go. And like I always say, keep putting common sense where it ain't so common. Peace and good night.